In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Itakuyeoyasin, my all of my relatives, I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from your Mitakuyeoyasin, all of your relatives on the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota. Be very clear on this. All those who live on the Rosebud are your relatives just as you are theirs. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ, related to you not by the blood of their birth, but by the waters of their baptism. And they send you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving thanks for the work that you have done with them, for your relationship to them, and for your faithfulness to the gospel. This morning is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the church's new year. Happy New Year. And it comes with such an uplifting gospel message, don't you think? Isn't that what every person wants to wake up to on New Year's? One will be taken and one will be left. Oh, gee, thanks. Let me assure you of this, though. One of the reasons that your Mitakuyeoyasin thank you so much is because you, like they, understand what this gospel is really about. My friends, this is not a gospel reading having to do with the rapture. This is not one of those things where those fools who go outside and stand in the field waiting for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come get them, and then nothing happens. And they open their eyes, and they don't know what to do with themselves. That's not what this gospel is about, my friends. This gospel is a gospel of urgency and passion. It is Jesus' way of telling us to get up and get off our duffs. It is Jesus' way of saying to us, you need to live a resurrected life and you need to do it now. Don't bother waiting until the end times come, because the rapture is happening right now in your life. And that rapture is the rapture that is giving you new life. This is a call, my friends, to live a resurrected life so that we can fulfill the mission of our lives, so that we can be exactly what God created us to be, a community created in love and in community. To live in love and community. We are God's beloved children, and we have been created in the image of God. And that image, my friends, begins with the image of love. For we are not necessary to God. Never make that mistake. We are not necessary to God. Which means that God created us because God wanted us, because God desired us, because God loved us into being. That is the first image of our creation, of a love so incredible that we exist today. And because we are Christians, because we believe in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we believe in community. The second image of God is one of community. Nowhere in our readings of the scriptures, nowhere, do God the Father and God the Son go off to do one thing and God the Holy Spirit stay home drinking martinis. It doesn't work that way. Always, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are working together. So it's an image of community constantly working together. That is the how of our creation. The how of our creation is created in the image of love and community. The why of our creation is to live in love and community. It's to live into the gospel commandment that Jesus gave us. To love one another, not just as ourselves. Because there are days, my friends, and we all know it, when we do not love ourselves. There are days when we don't like ourselves. And if we do not like ourselves, we do not love ourselves, there's no way we are going to like or love our neighbor. No, we are called to love one another as Jesus loved us. To lay our lives down for each other. To feed the hungry. To be among the abandoned. To give hope to the hopeless. To love the unloved. To include the excluded. To give water to the thirsty. To make the lame leap for joy. The blind see. The deaf hear and the mute sing. That's what we are called to do. And that, my friends, is what y'all have been doing up on the Rosebud for a lot longer than I have been on the Rosebud. I've only been there for 9 months. Some of you have been up there much longer. You've been up there for so long, and you can put together all of your time, and it equals a heck of a lot more than 9 months. You all have been faithful servants of God, listening to the gospel this morning, where Jesus is, in effect, telling you, get up off your dust and live as resurrected people. And that's what you have done, not just on the Rosebud, but in all of your ministry. But I'm only here to talk about the Rosebud. The rest is for me, Gravy. Sorry. Let me tell you, for those of you who do not know enough about the Rosebud, let me tell you a little bit about what it's like. The Rosebud is approximately the size of Delaware. We have 11,000 people total. We are dirt poor. We are one of the three poorest counties in the country. The Rosebud Indian Reservation, the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation to the west of us, and the Cheyenne River Reservation to the north of us, on any given day, one of us is the poorest county in the entire country. It seems to have something to do with the phase of the moon and whether who got what cobalt check when. We are poor, and we are not able to develop. We don't have rich black land like you have here in Missouri, where you can grow crops just by thinking about it. Our land is so weak that we can only run 10 cattle per acre. If that doesn't make sense to you, let me tell you that here in Missouri, you can run 60 to 100 head an acre. Because you've got the room and the rich land and the grass and water. We're lucky if we can run 10. We run horses and we run buffalo. And that's about it. There's no room for development. There's no infrastructure. There's no money. Nobody wants to invest in a place that we refer to as beyond the back of beyond. Our children only go to school 120 school days a year. It's only 120. Children in this country, on average, go to school 180. We only school ours for 120. They're left fancy-free 180 some odd days a year with no instruction. Schooling is not important. And you know why? Because the only way to make something of yourself is to really study hard and go off to college off the reservation. And to get a job off the reservation means that you have to leave behind your people and your culture and your way of life. And you have to go out into a world where people make fun of you, where people ask you if you still live in a teepee, where they want to know where your war bonnet is. They have to go far away and give up the core of their being, and they can't come home again because there ain't no jobs and there's nothing that they can do. Our unemployment rate is 87%. There are no jobs and there are no opportunities for jobs. The Rosebud Indian Reservation is a place of hardship. It is a place where hope has been forgotten. And yet, the Episcopal Church, with partners just like you, has made a commitment that we are not going to give up. The Episcopal Church has made a commitment that we are going to focus on the children of the Rosebud, the ones who don't get enough schooling, the ones who never have enough food to eat, there's never enough for them to do, the ones who way too easily fall sway to gangs and drugs and alcohol. And we are focusing all of our attention on our babies, because we believe that we can restore hope to the Rosebud through our babies. Because if we give hope to the babies, it'll transfer to the parents. And the parents will begin to see that there is a future again. And you all are a key part of that. You've been coming up to the Rosebud and you have been building houses like there's no tomorrow. If it hadn't been for y'all and groups just like you all, we would not have Habitat for Humanity on the Rosebud. We would not be able to house people who are in desperate need of housing. But you all have now made a commitment that you are going to expand what you do on the Rosebud. And your offering, your generosity, is going to allow us to feed our babies in our program, which we call Glory. God loves our Rosebud youth. And every Wednesday night, we gather up those babies, 20 to 25, sometimes 30 of them, and we feed them a full meal. 45 minutes, we sit at table together. And we pray, and we sing, and we dance, and learn about the fact that God loves each of them which is a message that they have not heard. We give those children love and we give them hope. And your involvement means that we can continue to do this and expand it so that we can bring about God's kingdom, so that we can listen to the gospel that we've heard, to Jesus' words, which translate to get off your duff and live a resurrected life now. Do not wait for the rapture. It ain't coming. Live your resurrected life now because you have eternal life. You have that promise. You are baptized into the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has promised us that, and we have to live as though we actually believe the promise. And you are doing so as our partners, as our Mekakeneoyasu, as our relatives. And we say to you, not just Benamage, which is thank you with our mouths. It's kind of a gee thanks, we really like it. But Wopila, which is thank you from our hearts. Wopila, which is thank you from God. We say to you, Wopila, for taking the chance to come to a place that is very different from here in Missouri, and to be with us, and to listen, and to sit at table, and to break bread, and to love, and to share. We say to you, Wopila, for taking the chance to live the gospel. We welcome you to the Rosebud at any time. We are grateful to you for your love. We pray that our love is reflected back and shared with you every time that we are together. Know that we will not forget you, because you, like the people on the Rosebud, are doing everything you can to live the gospel. You have gotten off your duffs. And for that, and God, and I say, Wopila. Amen.